Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. This is Smoky Mountain Wrestling, episode number 66 from May the 1st of 1993. We are still in Knox Central High in Barberville, Kentucky. First, before I welcome Doc and Harper into the show, we may have misspoken the last couple of weeks or last week. Can't remember. It's been 2 weeks since we recorded a couple of these. We misspoke about, I think, the stud stable, Doc, and Mr. PhD did some research on the fly last week or week before and said, oh, the studs were done, dude. They're gone, man. We're going to miss them. Well, evidently, studs still got a few more weeks with us, although I will say they won't be really featured in matches per se as much as a couple of promos we got coming up, but they're still hanging on with us. Doc, thanks for your flawed research. Really appreciate that. I'm sure my Twitter timeline will be blown up by the time this airs. If you want to know why I didn't address it last week, it's because it was recorded over a couple weeks ago. That said, Doc, fuck you, and how are you today? Him mad. No response. That's what I thought. Harper, what about you? He didn't realize I was gonna shit on him at the beginning of the show. Harper, how you doing?
Doing all right, bro. Yeah, I was glad to see him. I was like, fuck yeah, they're still around.
Well, I mean, in fairness to Doc, I'm messing with him, but I mean, I thought they were kind of done. It's been a while since I went ahead and watched these, so I knew the time was coming up, but they're still here. So, Doc, you got your drawers out your ass? You want to join us today? Okay, very good. He's either on mute or he's ignoring us. So we'll jump into the show. The Docaholics will be upset that Doc doesn't feel like speaking. That's fine. We jump into things. It's well, Harper, how are you? I'm saying we're jumping into things. You doing all right this morning?
I am doing great.
That's good.
Watch some Golden Girls. Ready to fucking rock.
That's beautiful. I love the Golden Girls, too. You know, it's funny, man. The Golden Girls, your Golden Girls deal is taking off on social media, man. I get people posting about the Golden Girls on Twitter and Facebook on my page. I'm like, yeah, Harper's probably enjoying that. And, man, when you look back at some of those segments and some of the memes that people are dropping or some of the short video clips, man, Blanche and the Golden Girls, they would make jokes on the sly about being hoes, bro.
Yeah. I mean, it's so a funny show.
It really is. It really is. Hey, Doc, are you on mute or are you just really ignoring us?
If my contributions are not welcome, I could go do other things. Let's remember here, pal, all these goddamn idiots that you read off their patronage. Harper and I don't see a fucking dime for this. So we're doing this. We're doing this on the promise of money that's never going to come.
This is volunteer work.
And just like somebody in the damn reviews on iTunes said, you need to pay us because Harper and I are the goddamn show.
Checks in the mail, brother. I'll get you next time. How many times did you hear that from a freaking promoter?
Yeah.
Next time, I'll get you next time. Next time, next time, next time. I know the envelope's a little light, but I got you next time, bro. All right. I'll be here. When's the next show? Oh, November 15th? All right. I got you back, bro. I'll be there next time. Anyway, I feel you, Doc. I feel you. Checks in the mail, bro. All right. Let's get into this thing, man. We are steamrolling ahead. May 1st of 1993. God, man, we've been at this over a year now. Dutch and Bob. Dutch's signs at the beginning of the show say Dutch for U.S. Senate. And Down and Dirty with Dutch this week will feature Kevin Sullivan. And then we'll also have a Beat the Champ TV title match with Bobby Eaton versus Primetime Brian Lee. Harper, you got anything from the opening?
No.
Okay, me either. Doc, you?
Yeah, with the Avenger?
No. I meant Dutch and Bob with the signs. You know, the big thing
No.
U.S. Senate. I love Dutch's.
He already has a tagline for that. We the people.
Yeah, he sure does, and it's just Dutch talking politics is a hidden gem in this show, in my opinion. Doc, anything you got from that opening before we go into the first match?
He has the tagline already ready. We the people.
Yep. So, first match is the Avenger versus Tracy Smothers. Goddamn, pal! When Tracy Smothers comes out, the music is playing and the fans are going nuts. Just unreal. Interesting comment from Dutch. Dutch puts over Tracy saying Smothers has the best record in Smoky Mountain. it's amazing when you book people like they should be booked and you get them over. That was the one thing I caught from that opening there. And then I got a soundbite from Ron Wright to play. But I'll ask, Doc, did you catch any of that, you know, talking about Tracy's record and how he's undefeated?
Yeah, I also thought that when Tracy came out with that rebel flag in his, and he also had the white flag, maybe he should put them both in the same hand and wave them at the same time since they're a bunch of quitters.
Okay. Offer any thoughts?
It's just let me go enslave an entire people until it gets too hard to deal with the other folks, and then I'll just quit and give it up.
You know what's funny?
Real committed, you know, to your shit. Real committed to being a bad guy until somebody else pounds you in the face, and then you got to give up. What a fucking joke!
You know what's funny about what you said? You said something about that weeks ago on a Smoky Mountain show, and I got this long ass series of tweets from some fucking.
Let me just cut to the chase of this. The Civil War was about slavery.
No, stop. Let me tell you something. This is what's funny about what you're talking about.
I'm in a bad mood.
This guy.
So this may not be your best move.
This guy starts going off on Twitter, and then he emails me about all we do is talk politics. I'm like, motherfucker, one, you can't take a joke when we're talking about Smoky Mountain. Two, nobody's talking politics, because if we really wanted to talk politics, we would, but we don't. So get your fucking draws out your ass, because the Confederacy fucking lost, okay? I grew up in the goddamn South. I grew up as far south as you can fucking get, all right?
Hey,
so
let me break kayfabe here for a second. If I was against all of this, would I be in the same goddamn Senate saying that Tracy Smothers is the booked perfectly and awesome and spend a year of my goddamn life reviewing Smoky Mountain Wrestling if I really was like that offended by any of this shit? Grow the fuck up.
I was like, dude, what are you talking about? Nobody's talking politics. Well, evidently this one person, and I'm not going to mention who. I don't even remember. I don't even remember.
That motherfucker.
I don't remember, but this person was like, you guys taking shots at the schools in the Smoky Mountains, that's so fucking immature. I was like, Jesus Christ.
The schools everywhere are shit.
But it's not just the Smoky Mountains.
Where I live, we're doing a show about where you live. You know what else? Taxation is not theft. That's the one that gets all these hard-charging libertarian fucks.
Oh, my God. I'm neither. I'm fucking independent. Leave me alone. Leave me out of this shit.
You know what my political party is? Titties. Put some in my fucking face. You know what?
That's nice.
These people need to fucking relax. You live in a historically poor part of the country. Work on getting that solved. Taking shots at it.
Hold on. Before we move on to Ron Wright, as he's fucking digs in about the South in a second, because that's part of why I brought this up. Before we move on to what Ron Wright says, I came up in one of the worst fucking school systems in the goddamn United States, okay? I had to do work study to go to a fucking Catholic school, a private school, so that I could get a damn education in New Orleans. So when I joke about the Smoky Mountains, trust me when I know there's four fucking fingers pointing back at me, all right? So,
I was born in Dallas, Texas, and we lived in a part of the Dallas, Texas called Oak Cliff. Look it up.
Which is a fucking shit show.
Neither one of my parents finished college, and they sacrificed everything they had so that I didn't go to a public school because they were pulling knives on people back in a long time ago. So shit's bad everywhere. But we happen to be reviewing Smoky Mountain Wrestling. So
we're having fun.
We take the story to where it's happening. Now, here's what we need to do. We're picking on this one poor fuck. But there's a whole bunch of other Docaholics out there that are getting tired of this because they tuned in to hear about Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Amen, brother.
So let me redirect us back to where everybody wants to be, which is in the ring. And let me tell you this, as I'm watching this match between the Avenger and Tracy Smothers, this could have been an ECW main event 5 or 6 years later.
It sure the hell could have. It sure the hell could have.
That's what I was thinking as it started. And then I got distracted because Ron Wright was out there rolling around and causing problems.
Oh boy, let's listen to about let's listen to Ron right here. He gets on the microphone, and it's great. Here it is. This is during the match.
Flag. Wait a minute. Here comes the dirty white boy over. Let me get the dirty white boy a microphone right here. Yes, sir.
Ron Wright's at ringside.
Yeah,
he's doing a little scouting there today, Dutch. That's all he's doing. You know what he's scouting? One of the biggest yellow belly cats. You know, I bet that boy's got a big yellow streak down his back. What do you think, Bob?
No, sirree. What a great competitor he is. He's the champion. He can't have the yellow streak down his back.
Let me tell you something about that champion. Has the man ever beat me for the 1, 2, 3 in the ring? No, sir. He lucked up. He touched a turnbuckle. It's a lot harder keeping a man down flat of his back for the 3 count.
Well, you know, the only way that this match is going to end is for one man in the corner to wave the flag, the white flag, when that man has had enough. Now, Tim Horner and Ron Wright are going to be the men in the corner with the flag. They have vowed, and neither one of them is going to wave that flag.
Well, I know y'all are sad enough that Ron Wright's not going to wave that flag. But, you know, Tim Horner, all I'll have to do is walk by the corner and give him a dirty look, and he'll start waving that flag like he's at the races.
Okay, I misquoted. I said Ron Wright. It's Dirty White Boy, but he makes a good point. He says Smothers only touched the turnbuckle and didn't actually pin him. And I thought that was a great point because it gives the heel an out and an excuse. I really thought that was some gold right there from Dirty White Boy. Harper, what did you think?
And what makes it so great? Because it's true.
Yes. It's spot true. On assessment. You can't argue
right.
it.
No.
Can't argue it at all.
He didn't tap out. He just hit a goddamn turnbuckle before
right.
he did.
Right. It gives the feud wheels.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like it gives him an excuse, and he literally. I mean, he's not lying. That's what's
right.
great about it. Doc, thoughts from you?
Here's the great thing: facts are facts, whether or not you choose to believe them or not.
Yeah.
And he's just out there laying it down.
Yeah, he laid it down, man. That was so true. All right, back to the...
You're talking about a guy who wants his goddamn belt back.
That's true. So we get back to the match, and it's Smothers. Smothers does win. Dirty White Boy gets involved, but Smothers sends Dirty White Boy reeling. But then Dirty White Boy gets some kind of gimmick from Ron Wright, and Dirty White Boy hits Smothers with it, lays him out. Then Dirty White Boy dumps Smothers back into the ring where he gets a yellow can of spray paint from Ron Wright. And Dirty White Boy paints a yellow streak down Tracy's back. The crowd is crushed. They go silent as this happens, like they're heartbroken. Doc, your thoughts first on this one.
What a perfectly simple prop. That's so effective. I mean, yellow coward, yellow belly, all these things that apply in the South. Hey, guess what? We're going to talk about the South because that's where we are here. All these things, the imagery of being yellow and being a coward. And Dirty White Boy hits the ring and says, "This is your Hulk Hogan? Look at him. He's yellow."
Harper, you?
I love when he hides it in a bag of fucking popcorn. Because I see him pull something out. I was like, what the fuck is that, popcorn?
Was that what it was? I wasn't even paying attention. Okay.
It was like how you get like those little bitty bags of popcorn.
Yeah, it sure was. Yeah, okay, yeah. I missed that the first time, but now I'm visualizing. He sure did. Yeah. He had that bag of popcorn. Genius. Brilliant. Because he's just sitting out there chilling with his bag of popcorn.
Yeah.
You know, that can't hurt nobody, right?
But wait, there's more.
Right. Yeah. Did you catch the crowd just dying, Doc? They were so upset.
Absolutely.
There's silence, complete silence.
That must be real easy to wash that shit off if you know.
Well, that was my next question is how easy is it to wash that off, and did he have to get some help from some rats?
I think because he's so wet and he's fucking sweaty, it doesn't stick.
Yeah. I agree. That's what I thought, Harper.
He tells some chick named Barbara, "You wash my back, I'll wash your front."
Let's give each other a bath, baby. Yeah. We'll make sure. I'll give you something to wash it down with. Okay, we keep going. So after the match, well, I'm just going to play it. It's Tracy and someone else.
All right, fans, with us right now, of course, here is White Lightning Tim Horner and Tracy's mothers. And Tracy, I've seen a lot of things done to guys, but nothing like this. I don't think I've ever seen happen in a ring.
Let me tell you something, Bob. White boy, you might as well put the strap down my back, too, because we like brothers. What you do to one, you do to the other. This man here can eat 10 penny nails and spit out a barbed wire fence. So you bit off just a little more than you could chew. Talk about waving that flag. I'm not even going to unroll it. He's going to kick your butt.
No. That's exactly right. Hey, dirty white boy, the battle rages on, man. The battle rages on. The problem with you is that I've got what you cherish more than anything in this world, and that's a Smoky Mountain heavyweight title. It means as much to you as you burning my grandfather's rebel flag. You'll go down as far as to jump somebody and spray them in yellow paint. By God, I'm not a coward. Tim Horner's not a coward, and he's not going to wave that flag, and I'm going to light you up like a symphony orchestra. You want to dance with me? I know all the steps, pal. I said it before. I've been on that side of the fence, and I can play as dirty as the rest of them, and it'll be a cold day in July before a nothing-happening, stinking Yankee, yellow-bellied, sap-sucking dog. When I'm done with you, you will change your name from the dirty white boy to dirty white trash.
Fans, we'll be back right after this.
Which one of y'all want to react to this first? Go ahead, Hoffer.
I just thinking he's... Wasn't he already white trash?
Who? Dirty white boy?
Dirty white boy. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's a dirty white boy, so I guess kind of, sort of, yeah.
I think this is the first time you saw him kind of lose his... He was trying to catch his breath.
He tried to catch his breath, and he got flustered a little. He told him he was gonna play him like a sympathy orchestra, not a symphony.
And then I caught that. Tim fucking Horner comes in for the save.
What did he say about 10 penny?
Something about fucking pennies.
I never heard that one before. Maybe one of the great Smoky Mountain listeners will educate us on that. Doc, you're an expert doctoral analysis on this.
This may surprise you, but I didn't think Horner was that bad there.
He probably wasn't. The problem is he's built the reputation on bad promos, so you're naturally going to laugh. It wasn't bad, but I still don't get the reference that he made.
Why?
I just don't get it. 10 penny? What? What the hell? What's with 10 pennies?
It's
a dollar?
No.
No, wait. 10 cents.
10 pennies is 10 cents.
No.
Carried a one.
No. You, just because you don't know something, it's stupid. It's a 3-inch long nail. And back in the day when they sold nails, they were more important to things. The length of the nail was how much it cost.
Oh, okay. You looked that up, right? Because I know your ass ain't never picked up a nail and never nailed nothing in your life. So
I nail plenty, pal.
Yeah.
I bet. We're not talking about broads.
So I didn't think he was that bad there, and certainly have heard worse. So I want to stop all the negativity here today and be positive and shit. I thought Tim Horner did just fine there. When did Tracy Smothers' dad's flag become his grandfather's flag?
Yeah, I caught that.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Maybe it was just a slip.
It was his pa's flag, and now it's his grandpa's flag.
Hey, quit being so strict on your grading system here.
What about, he didn't say pappy or grandpappy.
That's true. Okay, anything else from that, Doc?
No.
Yeah, me either. It was all right. I mean, they're building up to it, so here we go. After that, we go to a Rock and Roll Express fan club freaking segment. I guess I'm worn out on this because they did this everywhere. I mean, they did it in the Mid-South. They did it in the NWA. Give them credit for milking this and just trying to make money off of it. Doc, did you have any thoughts on it?
No.
Yeah, I joined it. No, you didn't.
I did. I saw that commercial. I was like, I got to join this shit. I got my picture in the mail yesterday.
Okay.
Well, first of all, you skipped Primetime Brian Lee coming out.
Oh, okay. Well, let's go back to that. My bad. You're right. I went down a line. I got it right on my notes, but not. Okay, so let's take a step back. Harper did join the Rock and Roll Express fan club, and hopefully you didn't get banged by one of the expresses. just got like autographed pictures and whatnot.
I'm trying to get Ricky's trench coat.
Gotcha.
Those are called dusters?
Is that what he wears?
I don't know.
I don't know what they're called, but to each his own. Let's move on to some more important stuff here. We got the Primetime Brian Lee. He's gonna cut a promo. I won't spoil it. Let's listen to what's going on here.
And with us right now here is Primetime Brian Lee, and Brian is getting all prepared and all keyed and all ready for the big Volunteer Slam, right, Brian?
Exactly right, Bob. Volunteer Slam. I can't wait. Rage in the Cage. It's all coming down. And
wait a minute, fans. Brian, if for you fans did not see last week's program, let me right now introduce you to Tammy Fitch, who is the young lady that's filed a discrimination suit against Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Now, believe it or not, she wants to at least look at the possibility of becoming a manager or some high-up official within Smoky Mountain Wrestling, correct?
That's right. Brian, I've studied a lot of wrestlers in this area, and you seem to have some potential. You have a little bit of ability, and you're certainly big enough. But I think you just need a little bit of guidance. So if you sign this contract, I can tell you every move to make. You can be incredible.
Hey, what do you say to that, Brian?
Well,
wait a minute. Here, Smoky Mountain Commissioner.
Ms. Fitch, I know that my lawyers have asked me to give you some leeway because of your lawsuit. But I can't allow you to come out here and interrupt wrestlers, especially this man. He has a chance today to beat the champ right here on TV, and you're interrupting him. I can't allow you that much leeway, so don't be asking him questions that he's not interested in.
Just a second, Commissioner. Let me answer the little lady's question. If I want a woman to tell me what to do, I'll get married, and honey, you're definitely not my type.
I guess that answer is no, right?
They're obviously insecure about their masculinity.
Oh, fans, I'm sure we're going to be hearing more in the future about that. Right now, let's take a look at...
Okay, Doc, you pointed out that I missed it. Well, what did you think there?
I thought Bob Armstrong came out to save two green rookies from themselves.
I didn't think it was that bad.
Okay, I also thought that Primetime Brian Lee, when he said that Sonny wasn't his type, maybe he's like Mike Mills. He likes a little brown sugar in his life.
Maybe so.
Maybe so. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he likes him thicker. I don't know. I mean, he's clearly got standards. He's not like Mullet of Morton and At the Eye of Gibson, who have zero standards.
All you got to do is wait for Sonny. She'll grow a little bit.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, she'll get to the point where she'll be everybody's type. No, not trying to be mean there, but
she grows to be what most normal people are like, and then a bunch of normal people are like, she's fat. Really? What's your fucking sweat hog of a significant other look like?
Yeah, some people with their standards are nuts. But anyway, I like that. I actually like Primetime Brian Lee's line at the end where he said if he wanted a woman to tell him what to do, he'd get married. Good stuff. Okay. Can we move on, Doc?
Yeah, let's get back to this fan club. I want to know what's going on here, pal. $20. Oh,
$20 to these people, that's like fucking $50.
More than that. There's only two people in Smoky Mountain territory that can probably afford this shit.
I mean, don't it cost like $5 to get into these shows back then?
I don't know what the tickets were.
Five to eight, probably.
I mean, right. Well, they had the local
bucks for this.
They had the local shows where, you know, they brought 8 cents and Harper said that was a changed nightmare.
It was.
Whatever
God,
it was.
Fuck yeah, it was.
But, yeah, had a bit of a challenge. But, no, I mean, you know, people were going to spend $20 on a rock and roll back then. That's just a fact. Like it was nothing.
Yeah, I just wonder how many diapers and formula went unpurchased so that
that's
fucking
nice, Doc.
Yeah, like, just take one of my old fucking Dale Earnhardt t-shirts, wrap them up in that.
Yeah.
That's really nice, insulting the people some more. Let's get back to some good stuff. We got Ron Wright and a Dirty White Boy and some more Ron Wright gold as they lead up into the Wave the Flag match with Tracy Smothers. Here it is.
Fans are with us right now. Here's the Dirty White Boy and the legendary manager, Mr. Ron Wright, who's got that white flag. I have a hard time believing that you're going to watch this man in the ring suffer, get banged up, get beat up, and not wave the white flag.
Let me tell you something, Mr. Cottle. Right now, me waving this white flag will be the one and only time anybody in the world will see me wave this flag. When I come out to the match, this flag's going to be rolled up. I'm going to have it stuck down in cement and have it locked down to where there won't be no way that it can be waved. That Tracy Smothers, these people just got a little glimpse of what's going to happen to him. They're going to have to take 10 men and 7 ambulances to get all of his body parts up on different stretchers to get him in an ambulance to take him to the hospital, and maybe some doctor might be good enough to get him back together. You just seen what happened to him. His real colors come out here in the front of millions of people right on TV. He's got a yellow streak down his back, Bob, a mile and a half wide. You've seen it, and everybody's seen it. And I'll tell you, a lot of these old people around in these part of the country better get down on their knees and do a lot of praying, because that boy's done got himself in a heap of trouble with me and my northern New York friend here. I'll tell you that.
And you're happy with the fact that the flag cannot or will not be waved?
Beyond a shadow of a doubt, because you see, I love it when Tracy Smothers beats on me, push me. You busted my stinking head open. But you know what? I like it. I don't think you do, and I know Tim Horner don't. So like I said before, it's going to look like Tim Horner's at the races. Oh, please don't beat on him no more.
Everybody that comes that night better have a strong stomach, because it's going to be bloody.
Tracy Canary, baby.
Right? We're going to be back. Don't go away. Right now, let's take time out for this.
Run right.
God.
Harper, you go first this time.
I love when he says, you better have a strong stomach because it's going to get bloody.
Yeah.
So that's just letting you know that you really don't want to miss this shit.
Yeah, it's going to be some blood is going to spill.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What else, Harper? Anything?
And he's fucking hilarious.
He's so good, man. He's so damn good. Doc, your thoughts?
When he said his New York friends, I was just thinking about and picturing a scenario where they're like on the 23rd floor of some high rise in Manhattan, and everybody's wearing like suits, and they're having a dinner party, and there's classical music in the background, and there's artisanal cheeses and shit.
Artisanal cheeses. Okay, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you kind of scan the room, and there's Ron Wright and Dirty White Boy telling their New York friends how they're going to pound some ass when they get back to the South.
Oh, man. I can't add anything more to that, but it's you're right. The visual of these two country boys, these Tennessee guys, talking about their northern friends and their Yankees, it's so ridiculous. It's entertaining. And then he capped it off, like Harper said, with the, you better not have a weak stomach because it's going to be bloody. Just got so good.
So what does that tell you? It's going to be fucking badass.
Yeah, and then I like it at the start of it, too, when he said, I'm gonna have that flag stuck in cement where it can't come out, brother. I thought that was good, too, just listening to him explain why the flag would never come out. And as someone who's seen this, I'm like, Jesus, the way it ends is so great, but it's just the buildup of this is really good.
Well, you know, it's like Harper said, you're sitting at home, and he ends with that line, and they go to commercial, and all the little kids are like, Mama!
Yeah, Mama! Mama! Mama!
Pretty much. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So after that, we go to a local promo from Rock and Roll Express. I don't even have the timestamp from this, y'all. So did y'all have anything
basically,
from it?
Just the premise is somebody's got to go, pal. Fed's not big enough for everybody.
Okay. And then after that, we have a Rock and Roll Express match versus Scott Campione and Nature Boy Paul Lee, who's back, Hopper. I know you had mentioned.
I saw that.
Where's he been? Well, here he is. He's back. Paul Lee has been around for a while now. If you go back, I think he kind of came in around episode 21 or something. Now we're at 66. So he's getting close to a year of putting people over in enhancement talents.
Was he called the Nature Boy then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Nature Boy Paul Lee. Sure was. I mean, Ric Flair ripoff, but whatever. I think he's kind of funny. He's entertaining
I think they ought to do an angle with that where it's like he doesn't understand that there's other Nature Boys, even though he was in their promotion with Landell. And everybody's trying to convince him that there are other Nature Boys, and he's just oblivious. Like, Ric Flair's, who's that?
Who? Right. I wonder if he was a good promo guy. I mean, we never see him cut a promo in Smoky Mountain, but it would be fun to hear him say that. Excuse me, in a promo where he's like, "Who, Nature Boy Buddy Landell? I'm the only Nature
time he
Boy,
was,
yeah.
Well, the only time he was on the mic was with Buddy because they went out and did a tag team together, and Buddy sort of, you know, alligator armed him. I think
he did, and Buddy was gone. That was like right. That was the last match Buddy had in the promotion.
Right. Back, not the last match in the promotion.
No,
the
at the time
for a while.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay. So this match doesn't take long. The Rock and Roll Express hit the double drop kick on Paul Lee and get the win. I didn't have any other notes besides that. Harper, do you have any notes on it?
No.
Yeah, me either. Doc, I'm assuming you're the same. So
no, it's just a solid little match. That's all.
Yeah, it's, you know, Rock and Roll get the win going into the, you know, Volunteer Slam and then the last tangle in Tennessee. We'll talk about in a minute. So here are the Stud Stable. They're going to cut a promo. And let's hear what they have to say. We thought they were done, but here they are.
All right, fans, right now, let's hear this from the Stud Stable.
Well, Jimmy, here we are, man. We're back on the teeter-totter, good and bad, man. Seems like we got our highs and we got our lows. We got the 10, man. We got the match we've been wanting. We got Cornette right where we want him. We got his butts. Kevin Sullivan, we're not worried about you. Your sidekick, Heavenly Bodies, or nobody else when it comes to a 10-man tag. But I'm going to tell him something, Jimmy, and I'm sure you stand behind me. Rock and Roll Express, we're going to be your partner just one time, baby. But don't expect me and Jimmy to carry the whole darn load. Because we're not going to get out there and do your wrestling and ours too. And then one last thing, boys. Then comes the big one. The big loser leave town. That's between the Heavenly Bodies and the Rock and Roll. One of the losers is going to be out of here. And then the big winner, the Stud Stable, going to have the rest of the pickings, boys. I'm going to be guaranteeing you something. The winner of that match is going to be the greatest loser of all time because you're going to beat the biggest, baddest team that ever walked in the Smoky Mountain area. I'm talking about the Stud Stable. And one thing you can be guaranteed of, we're going to wind up with the whole Smoss belts in all, Jimmy.
All right, Doc, you go first. What'd you think?
Baby's got a pot roast on. It's just, there's a rap. He's got it. He's a natural-born promo. Somebody's going to get their ass whooped, and we're going to collect all the benefits from it.
Harper, you?
Yeah, Jimmy didn't really have much to say, huh?
He never needs to, man.
Yeah.
Fuller's so good. God, he's so good on the mic, man.
He's just, well, Jimmy, here we are, pal. Let's go ahead and talk about it.
Right. It's like, it's natural. It's not like he's acting or trying to cut a promo. It's Doc said it. He puts his beer down. Cornette's sitting there and he goes, Hey, Robert, hey, Jimmy, I need a promo. Can you give me a minute and a half about, you know, the match? Ah, shit, Jimmy, let's go. Come on, man. Let's stick our beer down, man. I know we just opened it and we'll be done real quick. It won't even get warm, man. We'll be right back. Come on, Jimmy. What you need, Jim Cornette? Oh, okay. And then he just starts rattling. Like Cornette says one thing to him. It's natural. It's not like rehearsed. He's not sitting there reciting lines. We say it all the time. He's just a natural talker. And it's a shame that, you know, although he says he loved being Colonel Parker, it's still kind of a shame that that yeah. he loved a lot of people, that's all he knew him as.
He loved that check that he got for being Colonel. Right. He didn't have to take all those bumps.
He had to do anything.
That's true. That's true.
Well, and the thing of it is that there's another layer to that, that it's like, it's easy to believe that they're not just sitting down their beer and going and turning it on. That's who they are, and the camera just happened to be there capturing this portion of their day.
That's a good point, too.
That's true.
Yeah, they are. You're right. That's who they are. He's drinking beer, and he's going to go cut his promo.
Now, we know it's not, but the fact that you think it might be that way tells you how great they are at being themselves and being their characters.
Yeah.
It's not that fucking hide.
Ain't that fucking hide, guys. Okay. After their promo, the Rock and Roll Express do a promo, and so let's listen to that. Here it is.
Right now, here they are, the Rock and Roll Express, and you just heard the Studs say that they'll hold up their part in the cage, but they want the first crack at the winners of the May 15th match, Rick.
Let me tell you something, Bob. Now, we don't want to be partners with the Stud Stable as much as they don't want to be partners with us. But let me tell you one thing, guys. We will hold up our end of the deal. But if you double cross us, I guarantee you, there'll be hell to pay, baby. And now, the Stud Stable say they want the winner of the team or the loser leave town between the Rock and Roll Express and the Heavenly Bodies. Well, one thing is for sure, Rock and Roll's here to stay. We're not here to play. So be ready, Stud Stables. You be wrestling us, baby.
All right, fans, that's it from the Rock and Roll Express.
Doc, your thoughts on that, their reaction to the Studs?
It's an interesting angle making them pair together like this. So there's a lot of, like, I wonder what'll happen that's built into it. And then there's a lot of, after that, what's the next step? But I always like it when every once in a while you throw it in there that we're not sure who we can trust. And so that's another layer of psychology that'll be baked into this match.
Well, it goes back to Harper's point, like, about the Studs from the get-go. Is like, well, not the get-go, but like by end of December 92, when Harper was like, are they turning face?
Yeah. Like,
and then, you know, Jimmy had that kind of tweener match where he was pretty much a babyface against Bobby Eaton or whatever, or was it Dr. Tom? Can't remember. So there's something to that where you're right. It's, you know, who do you trust? I mean, at the end of the day, the Stud Stable are tweeners still to me. It just depends who they're, you know, against. If they're against the Heavenly Bodies, they're going to be baby faces because the bodies are so hated with Corny. But anyway, Harper, what do you think? Anything from the promo?
Can they trust them? We got to find out.
Yeah, the mystery's there.
Yeah.
And the only way to know is by showing up and watching it, because you can't get it on pay-per-view because it's not what they did back then.
Fuck, I wish I could have saw that shit.
Yeah, man. So, well, here's what they do. So they go from that to, they've been talking about this the last week or two, the last tangle in Tennessee. And so they promo it here. It's a match between the Rock and Roll, Heavenly Bozzy, Loser Leaves Town. Now, remember, they're saying the loser. So it's one person, not both members of a team. And
it's just that one individual?
Yeah, whoever takes the pin.
Whoever eats the pin's got to go.
Got to go. So I think I want to be clear here, and I think most people who listen to us who know the history of Smoky Mountain realize this, but it's still important to point out. I did have a question, though. Doc and Harper, your thoughts on the music here and the presentation.
God, what the fuck?
Okay, pal. First of all, Mike, any guesses?
I gotta come on, bruh. I don't know.
Well, here's the thing. Here's my note. There's not a chance in hell Mike knows who sings this.
Hell no, I don't know. Come on, man. You know that.
That's the Like a Rock guy. Those old Chevy truck commercials.
That's true. That's Bob Seger.
Yeah.
He sings that one song that all the Randy the Ram Robinson wrestlers all think pertains to them for their travels that were amongst the territories, called Turn the Page, which is a terrible song. God, Seeger's the worst.
And it had this the old time rock and roll song.
Yeah.
From Tom Cruise dances to
Risky Business. Risky Business. Yeah. Bob Seger's one of the Rob Seeger's one of those guys that nerdy baby boomer white guys listen to and think they're really rocking out or something. Fuck you.
What? Okay. Doc hates baby boomers. We should.
They're the worst.
we should.
They're worse than hillbillies.
We should point that out. Doc hates baby boomers. No matter if they're white, black, whatever, he just hates them all. Okay. All right. Well, so just real quick to wrap up that segment.
The stakes couldn't be higher because they're like no mask, no reprieve. You're out of here, pal.
Well, I like the fact that they're not that they ban it from mask because I mean that's been done in too many territories up until this point where the loser comes back in a mask. Everybody knows
somebody's got to pay the fucking price.
Right. Somebody's going to pay the price.
Can we see this? Like, is this online somewhere?
I think we'll be covering it.
Yeah, it's. I think it's in the next couple episodes at some point. See, it's real confusing because you got Volunteer Slam, but you also got this going on at the same exact time. So
right.
They had a lot going on at one time. And to me, this was better than Rage in the Cage, in my opinion, in some ways. I'm not going
to
say all.
We'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah, well, right. Now, technically, they do say something in this promo where they're like, these two teams will never match up again. And we'll call that fake news.
Well,
that might be called fake news right there. Technically, I guess, but technically
no
not.
No spoilers.
Right. So we'll talk about more. Harper, were you about to say something related to the last Tango in Tennessee before I move on?
It feels like we just had the Volunteer Slam.
It does.
Yeah, I'm getting confused. All this shit's coming too fast at me.
Yeah.
But we didn't. It's been a whole year since the slam took place, which is crazy in itself because I think Harper's actually just hit the point where he's been doing it now for a year, like when he first started.
Where's the Big Apple Grapple? They have that coming up soon, too.
We shall see. Now, before, let's keep moving. We got Down and Dirty with Dutch. Here it is. It's kind of crazy. Buckle up.
Right now, my special guest on Down and Dirty is none other than the master, Kevin Sullivan. Let's hear a big hand of applause right now for the master. Mr. Sullivan, can I call you master?
You certainly may. And may I call you Dr. Dutch?
Yes, that would be very good. I've heard a lot of comments. A lot of people say you're sick. I merely say that you're misunderstood. Is that correct? You think you're misunderstood?
I'm certainly misunderstood, but Dr. Dutch, do you mind if we sit down?
No, sit
can
down.
Sit down?
Sit down.
Can you sit down with me?
I will sit down with you. You know, since he's more comfortable sitting down, people, that's why we're doing this. This is a psychiatric little session right here. You know,
criss-cross applesauce, Doc.
I want to do a little word association with you. When I say a word, I want you to tell me what you think. What about the word butterfly?
Baby white seals with big brown eyes looking up at me when I have a club and they're screaming, don't hit me, and I smash their heads and I smash them and I crush their skulls.
Well, that's a real good answer, Master. Let me give you another word. Flower.
Oh, I think of the Night Stalker, maybe at a family reunion. He's carrying a platter of steaks near the grill. He trips and falls, and his face gets on the hot coals, and his face is stuck to the hot coals, and his whole family's trying to pull him back, and the flesh is running off of his face.
Let me say another word. Cage.
A tranquil waterfall, a stream through a nice, beautiful park.
What about Rage in the Cage?
A tranquil waterfall, a nice stream in the park, but the stream turns to blood, and big chunks of flesh and broken bones go over a waterfall filled with kidneys, intestines, and spleens.
Okay, let me say one thing. You say the Night Stalker has betrayed you. How do you deal with a man that has betrayed you? Your comments very quickly.
Very quickly, meaning like this?
Yeah.
Very quickly is Night Stalker. Just remember this. I'm the master and you're the pupil. Seal face.
Okay, fans, there you heard it. Another lesson with Kevin Sullivan. Lay right there. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Don't go away. Bobby Eaton and Brian Lee coming right up.
What the fuck, man?
Okay, so here's my note on that. Can you imagine some hillbilly with his kids, or their kids, just let's go down to the wrestling matches. And the next thing you know, Sullivan's out there talking about clubbing seals and rivers of blood and chunks of flesh and just. What the hell's this? I thought it was awesome.
Well, that he's was in, all insane, but
he's insane. It's Harper, great.
You go, and then I'll tell you the one thing that got me there that I was like, man, you did that now, man. These people would lose their mind. Go ahead, Harper.
Mm-hmm.
I think he had some fun with it. He was just having fun and enjoying himself, and he kind of brought up some sick shit.
Well,
for fucking back then, and I was thinking, what the fuck is Seal? Why do you call him Seal Face?
Well, he was not gonna, just he that.
Because he sees seals and he's going to club them.
Yeah, he starts talking about ripping flesh, and then he says, you know, he talks about smashing the skulls of some baby seals. Try saying that now.
Yeah, no, PETA.
Good God. Oh. I mean, they'd come after you and put you in prison just because you were.
Somehow that's okay, but. No selling big high spots is okay, but you can't talk about getting heat. Okay, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I thought this was insane and good all in one. I was good with it. I'm not complaining. I thought
I was
thoroughly
entertained. He's like, can I call you Dr. Dutch?
can I call you Dr. Dutch? Yes, you can. And then they sit down crisscross applesauce style. That was great, the crisscross applesauce style.
So, well, at least they're being respectful.
Of course. So, all right, we'll keep it moving. After Down and Dirty with Dutch, we got the Heavenly Bodies versus Bobby Blaze and Robbie Eagle. Our buddy Bobby Blaze back in action this week with Robbie Eagle, his friend, the Stro. Once again, another quick match, but Bobby and Robbie Eagle do get some offense in during this roughly 3-minute match before the Heavenly Bodies take over and ultimately get the victory. Dr. Tom hits Eagle with a powerbomb, and the Heavenly Bodies do get the win. Harper, do you have anything from the match?
It's just nice to see someone get hit with a power bomb and they don't fucking kick out of it.
He's talking about the current scene. Yes.
Yeah. I was like, oh, fuck. He didn't kick out. Holy shit. It worked.
The finisher finished him. Imagine that.
Write that shit down.
Doc, your thoughts on this? Anything?
Hold on. I was taking notes. Finisher should finish.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Hold on. Boy, Bobby Blaze, what a bag of shit that was. No, I'm just kidding. I did think, in all honesty, I did think that, and my note here was, because Bobby implored us, begged us, if you will, to call it like we see it when he's into the promotion. So he gets no special favors here. But I did make a note that I thought that he and his partner, Robbie Eagle, were a step above your normal enhancement talent, because the one thing Bobby brings is he's a guy of size.
Yeah.
So he looks like he's the physical equal of the guy across the ring from him, which automatically makes him more credible. I mean, get it. Morton works bigger than he is, and he is what he is. He can't be taller. But Bobby comes in with good size, so he automatically has sort of a visual advantage.
Hey, Bobby's not a small dude, man.
Mm-mm. He's almost about a couple. He's just like a couple inches smaller than me, and I bet I could lift just a little bit more than him. But he's getting better. Okay. I mean, you know.
All right. Well, we'll keep going after the match, and the Heavenly Bodies get the win. We got a promo here. It's the Heavenly Bodies, After Corny goes over the rules of Rage in the
Jesus
Cage,
Christ.
What Bullet Bob comes out.
No,
we
got to
listen.
I said, this Rage in the Cage bullshit is too complicated, dude.
I love Cornette, but this.
I am confused as all fucking hell.
And if you're confused, imagine these motherfuckers.
Exactly.
let's listen to it.
Now, wait a minute here. Now, what are they doing?
Let's listen to it. That way we can get some more clarification. I actually think Corny does a good
job. You're not
going
to listen to this and get any more clarification, pal.
Yeah, we need to understand what's going on in the storyline, so here it is.
All right, fans with us right now, Jim Cornette,
hey,
and of course...
No, there ain't no fans. What? You know what they are? They're fanatics. fanatics is what they are. Rock and roll through thick and thin. It makes me sick.
Let me tell you, I know it's got to be running through your mind very heavily right now. The Volunteer Slam, for instance. What about the Last Tangle in Tennessee? Those are two things I know are weighing pretty heavily on you right now.
First of all, let me say one thing. You don't tell me anything. You don't know what's running through my mind. As a matter of fact, you don't know what's running through your own mind. You're in a fog, just like Bob Armstrong is. Now let me just say this about the rage in the cage at the Volunteer Slam, in case you idiots out there don't realize the magnitude of this match. This is the way it goes. There's going to be five status matches, five single matches. The team that wins the majority of those matches will gain the advantage in the rage in the cage. There's five men on each team. Stan Lane and Tom Pritchard, Killer Kyle, Kevin Sullivan and a Tasmaniac against the Rock and Roll Express, Brian Lee, and our old friends Robert Fuller and Jimmy Gold in the Stud Stable. Now, when that Rage in the Cage match gets started, we're going to choose one man and they're going to choose one man. They go in the cage and they wrestle for 5 minutes. At the end of that five-minute period, the team with the advantage sends another man in. It's two on one. And for what? 2 minutes, anything that those two men can do to one man is legal, because there ain't no rules. Every 2 minutes thereafter, somebody new comes in the match. But the team with the advantage at the first always has the advantage. And if we win most of those status matches, we're always going to have the advantage. Two on one, three on two, four on three. You get the picture. The match can't end until all 10 men are in the ring. And then it's either submission, make your opponent give up, or there's going to be five sets of handcuffs on one side of the cage, five sets of handcuffs on the other side, so you can handcuff all the members of one team to the cage, and you can win it that way. And then, of course, by the way, they would be completely helpless.
That's right.
Then 6 days later, the Last Tangle in Tennessee, where these men and the Rock and Roll Express, regardless of what kind of condition they come out of that rage in the cage, they get in the ring in Johnson City to settle it. Bragging rights for the whole promotion.
That's right.
I've waited a long time. I've waited 10 years to say that Jim Cornette, was personally responsible for my team getting rid of the Rock and Roll Express, and this is the closest we've ever been. So you say, are we ready to take the risk? Yeah, we've talked about it, we've thought about it, and we're ready to take the risk, because getting rid of the Rock and Roll Express is worth just that much. But there's one thing that still grates in my craw. Bob Armstrong, you have done every single thing that you could possibly do to stack the deck against me and my men. Everything that you could think of, there's nothing on God's green earth that you haven't done to make sure to screw up Jim Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies. Well, I want to inform you of one thing, but what? Hey!
Hey, I've had it with him.
Commissioner, please, he's got to stick his nose in everywhere.
I just wanted to deliver a message to you personally. Now, in the rage in the cage, there are no rules. Is that right?
That's exactly. Well, you ought to know you thought this stinking thing up.
Let me tell you this. We'll probably see more violence than anybody's ever seen in the Smoky Mountains.
You got that right, brother.
But somebody has got to be there to raise the winner's hand, right? Somebody's got to be there to declare
the
winner.
Yeah, raise our hands.
That's right. Well, I just wanted to tell you personally that I'm going to be the referee in that match, and I'm going to watch you very closely.
Wait a minute.
Well, fans, you've heard it right here, and that's what'll happen. We'll be back.
Okay, we were talking about this before. This promotion does a lot of stuff good, probably more than 90% of the time. But this is just way too confusing. It's beyond
this did not exist back then, but I'll tell you exactly it is applicable. This is TLDR.
I'm waiting on the explanation of that.
Too long, didn't read.
Okay. You mean didn't register?
Didn't read. That's what you say about emails when they were too long and get sent.
TLDR. I got you. It's too complicated. Way too complicated.
Again, once they get past all that shit and get back to the personal issue here, Armstrong and Cornette deliver, because guess what? They know what they're doing. When they're not weighed down by all the nonsense, they actually, you know, again, it's back to, well, here's another twist and turn in the story, and that's going to be, you know, a problem for Cornette, and how are they going to overcome that?
Yeah, if you just heard that just now, don't let all those rules and regulations confuse you. The payoff in this thing is good. It's just we got to work through it. Hopper, you were saying it was just way too much for you too.
I'm still confused.
Carry the one.
You got five guys, and then one guy comes in, then they pick another guy.
Then they drive down to the secret location to get the secret password, and then...
Then the next guy comes in.
All right. Well, beyond all of that, I agree, Hopper. You are absolutely right. Cornette... Well, I should say, the one thing that I did like and that we need to make note of is Bullet Bob is going to be in this thing.
Yes.
He's going to be the official. That's a key point. So that four-minute-long promo, the one thing you need to pull from it is Bullet Bob is going to be the official. Just keep that in mind.
That will continue to fuel the fire.
Yeah. Yes, it will. After that, they go into another Rage in the Cage update. I'm not even going to elaborate anymore. No. We just beat that horse.
Well, and then, the other thing is that, again, you talk about you don't always have to be the main guy to do something good for your segment. So at the end of that segment, you could hear, though, Dr. Tom going, call your mom, Jim, call your mother. You know, just simple things that add to the thing.
Well, you said it, scoring without the ball. That's what he
right.
Did right there at the end.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to run plays for him, but he can contribute to the win.
The next match then is Bobby Eaton versus Primetime Brian Lee, Beat the Champ TV title match. I really like this. A good little main event match from these two. It only goes a little over 5 minutes. Primetime Brian Lee wins with a really nice clothesline, in my opinion, but when he wins, Cornette gets in the ring, and then the Heavenly Bodies hit the ring. Before you know it, it's a Rock and Roll Expresser in there. Killer Kyle's in there. The Heavenly Bodies are in there. It's just pure chaos before we go to commercial and then proceed to the promo that will finish off the episode. Doc, I'll get your thoughts first on this.
I thought Eaton made Primetime Brian Lee look like $1 million here. Throughout.
Well, he's Bobby Eaton. I agree. He did. Bobby Eaton is that.
I get the feeling, and I can't remember if this is Bobby's last match, but it seems like there could have been more to that angle of getting him out of the promotion. Bigger blow off, but whatever. Bye, Bobby.
You sure about that? We were wrong the last time, not just you.
I don't know. I don't really care.
Okay. Well, this has to be it, because didn't you say when he loses the...
Yeah, that's true.
It's over with. So.
You're right.
Hey,
you're right.
Know what you... When it comes to analysis, just like everything else in life, you get what you pay for. So how much do you pay Harper and I?
You're an asshole.
Whoa. He's right, though.
There's nothing right about that. You're lucky I don't have a soundboard up.
What you need to worry about is me and Harper unionizing.
Oh,
you broke
6,000
guitars on people's head, never drew a dime in your little Tennessee brain, Doc.
I don't have a Tennessee brain.
Your little Texas brain, Doc. Your little Oak Cliff brain, Doc.
Why you got to talk bad about the hood, dude?
Oak Cliff ain't shit compared to New Orleans. I hate to tell you that. All the people in Dallas are going to be like, what the fuck are you talking about? That little hood ain't got nothing on New Orleans' finest ghettos.
Finest?
Finest. Yeah, it's an oxymoron. Yes, sir. You know it, Hopper, man. There's some real shitty places in New Orleans, man.
Nah, of course not.
It's the shit sock. Shit. Yeah. Okay, let's move on. I'm going to skip the local promo for the time being. We'll go to the Rock and Roll Express, Primetime Brian Lee, and Jimmy Golden also shows up. So here's the last promo of the show as we are going off air right now.
All right, it was a great one for this young man right here now, our television champion, Primetime Brian Lee. Brian.
Well, Bob, it was a great one. What you're looking at is the tag
team, next tag team champions here at Primetime, Brian Lee, who's the TV champion. Now, Cornette, I want to tell you something.
Let me say something here. Let me get one thing clear here. Am I to understand that Jimmy Golden and Robert Fuller, the Stud Stable, is going to have to bail you guys out one more time, just like you wish we'd have done just a few minutes ago, Er? Let me tell you something. If we do, you darn sure better hold up your end, pal.
Let me tell you something, buddy. We will hold up our end of the bargain. But let me tell you something. If you double-cross us, just take a little bit of friendly advice. There's nothing in this world I can do about you jumping on me, but there's a hell of a lot I can do to get you off.
All
right?
Whoa.
All right, fans, it's going to be a while when the Rage in the Cage and the Last Tangle in Tennessee. Next week is going to be Stan Lane against Jimmy Golden and Primetime Brian Lee's first.
Hopper, why'd you say that? Whoa.
How could they not, like, pop at that? Like, I would just be like, what? What did you, what?
I came unglued. That was damn sure.
I mentioned that several weeks ago on the flagship show that he was going to do that. I'm pretty sure that Ricky Morton just promised to suck Jimmy Golden's dick.
Yeah.
I think you're going a little bit too far there. I wouldn't say that was what just happened.
I think Ricky Morton went a little too far there.
Okay. Doc, any other expert analysis?
I'm just glad Jimmy Golden came out there to save that shit.
Well, I like that.
Hold up here now.
Right. And he looks so ridiculous with his Ray-Bans and that goddamn god-awful yellow and black robe.
That golden Grand Dragon Wizard robe he's got on.
Prize! Doesn't it look like that?
Yes!
So ridiculous. It's so awesome. Ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's the black and the yellow. Oh, and the Ray-Bans put it over the top too. It's like, come on, Jimmy.
I guarantee. Not only... I would bet any sum of money I could bet that there's a can of beer or more in that robe somewhere. And he barely gets off camera and reaches around to pull out a can of Miller Lite for him.
You remember when Stan Lane or Bobby Eaton threw that beer in his face? He said, next time you try to drown me, make sure it's Budweiser, pal. So there you go. That's just confirms he's probably got some beer in there because he wants to be drowned, but he wants to be make sure he's drowned in Budweiser, not some watered down fucking, I don't know. Give me a watered down beer, Doc. I'm not really a beer connoisseur.
Budweiser.
Yeah.
Budweiser's watered down?
Yeah.
He's drowning with Budweiser. God, okay.
Well, let's be fair. In 1993, Budweiser was not considered the same way it is today. So,
yeah, that was a top selling beer back then.
That's what real men drank was that and Yellow Belly Coors.
So, what do you real men drink now?
I don't know.
IPAs, dude.
Coke Zero.
No, I'm talking about beer wise. What do real men drink?
IPAs, dude.
Yeah, I guess.
Everybody's moved to IPAs? I mean, we joke about the IPAs, but are you serious?
It's pretty widespread. I mean, I still think that, well, your hillbillies still hang with your domestic horse piss, Miller Lite, Coors Light, Budweiser, all that. And then you got the real dirt bags that are into like Keystone and
oh god,
Bush and Beast.
What do you drink?
Light. Who?
You, what kind of beer you drink, Doc?
My personal favorite is I like the kind of the green bottle Eastern European lager type with, so we're talking, you know, not Eastern European, but European kind of like Heineken, Beck's, St. Pauli Girl, those kinds of beers. I prefer a lager over an ale, but an ale is where all the big...
Jesus Christ, you're like a fucking broad naming all this bullshit.
But an ale is where the higher alcohol by volume is, so that'll get you drunk faster. So every once in a while, you have to switch over to ale so that you get your buzz on in a hurry because you got kids and shit, right? Can't just sit around all day drinking beer like I'd like to.
Some people with kids do.
Yeah, that's right, and that's how they end up living in the Smoky Mountains on $8,000.
Easy. Okay. All right.
We gotta. I just don't understand how they're holding this Smoky Mountain thing at WrestleCade, and the three of us aren't there in some capacity.
Well, I haven't been booked. I mean, you haven't been booked. Harper's
you
been
haven't
booked,
been
but it's
booked.
Been,
Harper
but it's,
is already going to be there. He's on the
Harper's
ground.
He's been booked because of Wildcat. He hasn't been booked because
Harper,
of the Smoky Mountain Wrestling podcast.
You got a
kayfabe.
You got to crash the gates on that shit.
You well, go to, I mean,
you're a Smoky Mountain correspondent, and you're there, pal.
Well, see,
this
here's
probably,
the thing. This is going to air
happened.
After.
Right.
This
well,
is
cut
air
it out.
After it.
Put it on the YouTube channel.
No, we
fuck
need to
Thanksgiving.
We need to talk about this on the flagship show next week because there's something to this, man. I hope Bobby Blaze is you know make sure that when he's on the panel doing this thing that he shouts not only us out but shouts Harper out as Harper is performing at WrestleCade. So I mean,
right.
Damn,
our
I mean, he's wrestling.
You can't get away from us. We're everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're. We're. That motherfucker's hidden. He's not even on social media. He trolls from his wife's account, Harper, but we're everywhere. Motherfucker, you ain't nowhere.
I'm everywhere. You shit. Just don't know it.
He's like Batman.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he's
Jesus.
Like Batman. Jeez, yeah.
I am
Batman
on Twitter. I am on Twitter.
Speaking of not getting paid, help me out to further not pay Harper, or help me out to so that I can pay Hardbody Harper and Doc by going to tinyurl.com/BTTPatron, become a patron, get access to the world-class episodes, get access to all the other episodes that we've done on the patron side of things, and also it'll give you a chance to come on the show like Dan did a couple weeks back and all the other patrons that have been on the show and made appearances here and there. You can do it. Look, man, you can do it for as low as you want. You know, come in at $2, come in at $20, whatever floats your boat. Again, it's tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. Thanks to the Hall of Fame patrons, R. E. Miller 39, Justin Andretti, at J. Shiny 21, at Natural Hacksaw, at Thin Man Within, Slider 91 US, Justin Rasmussen, at Shep Daddy 32, at USC 49er Dodger, at Gerald Green III, at T Hog 94, at SV Pageum, at Martin Howe 71, at Tim Arechi, at Gobbled Unreal, and at Unconvinced Ray. Thanks for being Hall of Fame patrons, and thanks everyone for being patrons. Now let's do some disability checks, Doc. 7 for me, maybe.
God,
on this one.
What is fucking wrong with you?
7.25, maybe. I really didn't have it written down, to be honest. I'll be straight with everybody here. I don't have it written down. Usually, I'll rank it ahead of time, but and that's why I went first because I don't have it written down. I'll go 7.5 since it seems to disappoint you, but I'll let
maybe
you
that's
tell
the
me.
Reason you're not getting booked at this Smoky Mountain thing is that you seem to hate the promotion with your low ass ratings, dude.
Give your rating, asshole.
7.9. This was a good episode.
Okay, Harper, you?
I had 7.5.
Thanks, Harper. Appreciate that, man. See,
yeah.
All he
go.
Is
seven.
Is the middle ground between the two of us, you fucker. And if you said,
I just
seven,
said
7.5 to...
before you gave 7.9.
Yeah.
I said 7, and I was like, well, 7.25. You know what, 7.5. I said 7.5 after you browbeat me like a bitch.
I browbeated you like you're a bitch. I get it.
You're an asshole.
Whatever.
With your fucking lagers, and you probably, I bet you drink Michelob Ultra.
God, no. That's the worst. Why even
I
bother?
Bet you drink that.
Why bother? Just drink fucking water. It's better for you.
Doesn't have alcohol. Water doesn't have alcohol in it, though.
Neither does Michelob Ultra, you jackass.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
There's very trace little. Amounts.
There's yeah. Trace amounts. It's there.
It's there. It's there. Oh, boy. Government cheese, Doc. Government cheese. I'm going to give mine to the dirty white boy and Ron Wright on this because I loved the very opening of the show at the beginning of that first match, Dirty White Boy's explanation for how he lost and how he didn't actually get pinned. And then I'm going to put this together, although it wasn't in the same segment, Ron Wright's promo with Dirty White Boy. I feel like that needs to get the government cheese. Doc, who are you giving yours to?
I had two other contenders that neither one of them were those guys. At first, I was really leaning into giving Robert Fuller the government cheese for that just great little promo he cut. But man, I'm giving mine to Kevin Sullivan because he's out there cutting ridiculous promos in front of a live audience about clubbing seals and chunks of flesh and rivers of blood. That's just insane. He's insane. He needs to act insane for us to believe he is insane, and I'm ready now to take that journey with him.
Sullivan is nuts. I can't disagree there.
It's too bad that he killed Chris Benoit.
Whoa.
What? Allegedly. No, he didn't. Who said that? I love Kevin Sullivan, dude. He would never do something like that, even though he is the devil.
Hopper, who are you giving your government cheese award to?
The Stud Stable.
See? Studs?
I thought they were gone. I was like, wait, no, they're not, motherfuckers.
Well, the thing about this thing, too, is all three that we mentioned are worthy candidates in this episode.
Yeah.
In my opinion. Now,
that's how you get a consistently high upper seven program is you got a bunch of badasses like Sullivan and Fuller and Dirty White Boy and Ron Wright running around with the Rock and Roll and Smothers, and Jesus Christ, this promotion is stacked with talent.
Yeah, you're not kidding, man. You're not kidding. So we didn't cover the last local promo from Cornette in the episode. Did you have anything from that, Doc? I'm realizing now I didn't hit on that.
No, I said it was. Yeah,
I didn't either.
It was fine. It's so.
Yeah, nothing. I mean, it wasn't like special. It was good, but it just wasn't like over the top. Hopper, did you agree?
No. I mean, no, you didn't agree? I don't have anything about it.
Okay. Cool. I need to remind you all, the holiday season is here. Please use the tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon link. I'm noticing a little bit of a drop-off lately in it. Not that it was bringing in tons of bucks, but bringing in something is better than nothing. So, again, it's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. Use it for all of your holiday shopping needs. Give it to your wives, girlfriends, the people in your – not only wives and girlfriends, it's just people that spend money, I mean, which is – generally women, if you ask me, in my household. The women seem to spend money. I mean, my daughter's only 8, and she's a money-spending somebody at this point.
Did you give her the link?
What am I saying?
Is she on Amazon?
No, but it's always, Daddy, I want something. See, Doc, your daughter's too young. She hasn't reached that point yet, but if you think your wife is bad, just wait till your daughter gets old enough and is in your pockets every single day, 24/7. It happens.
That sounds dirty.
It's not dirty, and you shouldn't make a joke like that. You're an asshole for that. Again, it's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. Go buy Bobby Blaze's books from there. Go buy anything. I mean, hell, you can buy groceries from Amazon nowadays. Not that I would do that, but I guess if you float your boat, do
it. Fuck that, dude. I remember one time, dude, I was going to get Speed Stick, and you could only buy like fucking 20 of them. At one time, I was like, what the fuck do I need 20 goddamn things of deodorant for?
But hey, now you can actually give it to where Amazon gets a key to your house and they can just come inside and deliver it to you.
Yeah
I want to do that.
Fuck that. Yeah.
The way you're sitting in your big fat chair with your big fat ass, they could just hand it to you.
Hey, come here, boy.
Okay. All right. You guys are special.
I'm not even comfortable with all of my family members living in the same house with me or even being in the same house. If you think strangers can come in, you got a fucking other thing coming.
You better be hot.
Well, that's an exception, right? Especially when you're single like Hopper. You better be a 10.
You better be double D's and on your knees, if you know what I mean.
You better come in with a lube in your hand going, here you go, I'm ready. That's right, Hopper?
It'd be a hot run-in for a hot tag. Come on.
All right, it's almost time to get out of here. I want to remind everyone, go to our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. Click the Shop Now button. Purchase some pro wrestling tees from our Pro Wrestling Tees store while you're at it. They're all up there. Also, in the link in the show description, you will see the T Public T-shirt store. There's plenty of tees there. There's the Be Blessed and Be a Blessing from the famous line from Buddy Landell. You should check that out, along with many other T-shirts. There's also, I don't point this out often, but it's wintertime now, and you can get hoodies and BTT hoodies on the T Public store. So just go there and check out the store. Again, it's in the link, so we'd appreciate if you check it out. And then lastly, I want to shout out the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing, Kingpin Brian Malonis and Mike Crockett. Check their shows out Mondays and Thursdays. Just search WPAN. They're doing a lot more classic stuff these days, and I think you all may want to check it out and appreciate it. Twitter at BTT_podcast. Hardbody Hopper is at CJHHudet. I'm at Mike504Saints. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes. And I don't have anything else. Harper, hit. Well, Doc, you got anything?
No.
Harper, hit the tagline and take us home.
Book it, bitch.